Look at verse 1, if you will, Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. I'm sure he did. Out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. He is speaking of what was in that fish's belly. Literally, he said, as he describes it, the waters going, you know, all of God sees the billows are over him. Here's this fish. I believe that fish, when he swallowed Jonah, I believe personally that he sunk as low as that fish could get. He was on the bottom, not only literally, but I believe that figuratively Jonah had hit bottom. And he's describing, he said, the weeds were wrapped around me. Notice, if you would, verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Can I have a good hearty amen right there? If you've been saved by the grace of God, that's exactly what God did for you. He brought your life up from corruption. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. O Lord my God, verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Notice, if you would, verse 8, 9, and 10. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. I'm sure all of us would love to see that scene when that fish regurgitated him out of being in that belly for 3 days. Could you imagine what he looked like? And could you imagine what he smelled like? What a picture of God. He brings us out of a mess like that, cleans us up, changes us, and uses us for his glory. You know, the whole book of Jonah, there's so many things you could say about the entire book of Jonah, but I want you to understand something about Jonah. The whole point, I believe, is being used by God. The whole point of your life is being used by God. Everything that had happened to Jonah and everything that Jonah had brought on himself, and listen to me this morning, it was all so God could use him. Do you know that's the point of your life? That is the main purpose of your life, whether you know it or not. I don't care what your particular occupation might be and how important it is, I'm sure, but your whole point of your life, the reason for you to even function, the reason we were even created, was to be used by God. That's what this is all about. Everything that God brought him through, everything that God allowed, everything that Jonah was trying to avoid, this entire progression from rebellion to restoration, everything was about being used by God. The question then comes up, all right, preacher, what makes me usable? You might say, preacher, you know, I'm sitting here in a service this morning, in a church service, but preacher, you don't know some of the things that have gone on in my life, and you don't know some of the things I've been through, and you know what? I just don't know, preacher, if I'm usable like you put it. Well, I want to give you some things from this passage, this particular passage, that really encouraged my heart. Let me tell you some things that don't matter when it comes to God using. Number one, I want you to notice, if you would, verse 1 and verse 2. Look, if you will, at these verses. Verse 1 says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Look at verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. My affliction. It means this is mine. I'm the one that caused it. I'm the one that brought it. Number 1, listen to me. Your past doesn't matter. The fact, just that phrase, then Jonah prayed. That word then means something happened before that point that brought him to this point. Something happened over there that brought him to here. Then he prayed. That means this, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the past that wasn't real good on Jonah's behalf. But it brought him to that point and he decided from then on, now I'm going to pray. Then Jonah prayed. Dear friend, I want you to know something. You might have been through a lot. You might have done a lot. You might have gone low. You might have done a lot of things in your life you regret. Hey, listen, join the club, sister. Anybody in here haven't done anything they regret? Don't you raise your hand. You'll regret that. Dear friend, look at me. Your past doesn't matter. You see, it didn't matter. Look at me. But what this verse is teaching, it didn't matter really what happened then. Jonah prayed. And dear friend, it really doesn't matter to me what has happened before now or where you've gone, what you've done, what all might have transpired in your life. Look at me, dear friend. What is wonderful about our Savior is that even whatever past you have, God can still use you in the future. Amen. Jonah had initiated the rebellion, but God initiated the restoration. God came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go preach. And Jonah rebelled. He initiated the rebellion. But God had that fish prepared and just wouldn't let Jonah go. And that fish, look at me, that storm that brought on all the problems caused those men to throw Jonah over that ship. That fish was prepared, swallow Jonah. He is literally in the belly of the fish while he's praying. All those things had happened then. But when Jonah prayed to God, it was a new chance. It was a new story. It was a new opportunity. It was a new future. Because God says, if you come to me and you ask me for forgiveness, I'll forgive you. Dear friend, your past doesn't matter. Number two, I want you to notice this. Look at the second part of verse 1 and the second part of verse 2. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Notice this, his God, out of the fish's belly. Look at verse 2. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Number one, your past doesn't matter. But number two, your place doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. You can call on God in the middle of the ocean, at the bottom, dragging the bottom, in the belly of a fish, and God can hear you. Your place doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what place you're at in your life. It doesn't matter all the things you've done in the past. But dear friend, listen to me. You might say, but you don't know all the chaos that's going on right now, and you don't know what's happening to my family, and you don't know even what I've been through this week. Look at me, dear friend. I'm here to tell you, if you can call on God out of the belly of a fish, and if you can call on God out of the belly of hell, I'm here to tell you, you can call on God here. You've come to the right place. You're at the very place where God can hear you. Doesn't matter your place. I noticed this first, that God called Jonah first, then cast him. See, God called Jonah, but because Jonah rebelled, then God had to cast him into the ocean. He would have never had to have cast him if Jonah had answered the call. Dear friend, you and I, it's amazing sometimes the turmoil we bring in our life because we simply just won't answer the call from God. Your place doesn't matter. I notice how Jonah put it, the belly of hell. By the way, if a big old nasty stinky fish swallowed you and you're sitting in those intestines for 3 days, you would call it the belly of hell too. You know what's amazing here? This wasn't hell. It wasn't anywhere close to what hell's going to be like. But it felt like hell to Jonah. And you know what it might be? You might not be sitting in a fish, folks, but some of you might be going through some circumstances in your life right now that literally feels like hell itself to you. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how bad it is. God can hear you. And he is waiting and ready for you to call him. I noticed this, that Jonah was able to go directly from the belly of a deep fish. Look at me. I want you to get this. Jonah was literally, while he was sucked up into those intestines of that belly, of that fish. Stinky, slimy, dark, hot. And what is amazing about this whole thing is that Jonah was able to go directly from the belly of that fish to the throne of God. That quick, he was down in the bottomless parts of that sea, as far away as he could get just about, and he was able to go from there to the throne of God in an instant. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Well, guess what? You and I get to too. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, how bad it gets. You might be driving in your car. You might be arguing with your wife. You might be sitting at a family reunion. You might be at the job getting chewed out by your boss. And I'm here to tell you, in an instant, you can go from whatever situation you're in right to the throne of God. Amen. What a privilege. Your place doesn't matter, because wherever you are, you can get to Him. Number three, got more I'm going to say about that, but for time, we need to go. Number three, your past doesn't matter. Your place doesn't matter. Number three, look at verse three, if you would. It says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Things were bad. Look at verse five. "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul." Wait a minute. Now, Jonah's getting a little bit different here. Now he is going from describing purely what happened physically to what is happening spiritually. He said that literally, "Oh, I'm in the belly of this fish, and all the waves are passing over me and the billows and all this stuff." And now in verse 5, he says that it's even covered up my soul. Waters can't cover up a soul. What Jonah was saying here is, yeah, there was waters covering everywhere, but I was drowning inside. I wasn't just drowning in my body. I was dying from the inside. I had run so far from God, and I had gone so far to the point I never thought I'd go that far from God. And now he has time to think. Have you ever been there in your life where you had time to think? Never forget when my dad had both hips replaced, and he was out of meetings for about a year and a half, had two hip replacement surgeries, and they had a whole year where my dad did not preach revival meetings. And they were living in the basement apartment, Brother Linus Newsom, him and Edna, and they were living down in that basement at that time. And here my dad's on a walker, had his hips replaced, you know, and he couldn't preach, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't travel. And I was over there talking to him a number of times, you know, go down and see him and different things. And I'll never forget one day he was talking to me. He says, "I just don't think I've ever in my life had so much time to think." And he said, "It's almost scary. When you begin to think about your life and what you've done and how little you've done for God." You know, dear friends, sometimes God arranges things in our life to give us time to think. Because we've gotten so busy, we have forgotten what's important. And we've gotten so busy with life that we have overlooked what should have been looked at. And sometimes in life, God arranges things. And all of a sudden, we look at things and we think, "I've blown it. I've been so unwise. I don't understand how I could have gotten so far away." And in verse 5, he says, literally, "My soul is drowning." Want you to notice number 3, your past doesn't matter, your place doesn't matter. But number 3, your problem doesn't matter. I notice in verse 3, I believe it is. Notice this. It says, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep." Isn't that amazing? God didn't cast him into the deep. Right. Those men did. Listen, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you need to think about this. We're going to stop here just for a second, because I'm going to give you some really good wisdom from God's word. Jonah was not mad at those men that cast him into the water. He knew God was sovereign. God was in control. There's no reason getting mad at those men. God allowed it to happen. He said, "God, you cast me into the sea." But you know what you and I do a lot of times? God's arranging things and God has a plan. But you know what we do? We get mad at all the people in the plan. Yeah, but preacher so-and-so did such and such to me. Yeah, but that might have been what made you who you are. And that might have been what brought you closer to God. And that might have been what gave you the power that you have in your life now. Yeah, but they did this and they did that. Listen, Jonah could have been mad a lifetime at all those guys that threw me over the ship. How dare they? He had time to think in that belly. And he realized, you know what, there's no sense being mad at the mariners. It was up to the master. And dear friend, I'm going to save you some effort in your life. You just need to quit getting mad at all the people. And you need to just submit to the sovereignty of God. Hopefully you and I won't have to get in the belly for 3 days to learn that. What he says in verse 3 and verse 5 is this: I can't see you, God. He says, I can't find God. Look at verse 5. He says, the depth closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Look at verse 3. He says, the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. What he is saying is this: I couldn't get beyond all these waves and the weeds and all this stuff. I can't find you, God. I can't see you, God. Maybe this time I literally went too far. And have you ever been there where it seems like your prayers weren't getting anywhere and you couldn't seem to find God anywhere in your life and everything you're trying to do is falling apart? And this is what Jonah says. He says, I can't even find you. Dear friend, your problem doesn't matter. You say, preacher, you've said all this, but my problem is, it doesn't matter what your problem is. Yeah, but you don't, but I don't know how God's going to fit. It doesn't matter what your problem is. God can fix it. And what I find about this is, it doesn't matter what your problem is, God knows exactly where you're at. Old Jonah couldn't find God, but God found him. Old Jonah couldn't see God, but God saw him. And sometimes God's watching you, and you can look around because all of a sudden you realize, I left God. I got so busy with my things and I've wandered off. And where's God at now? I need you, God, now. Hey, I didn't know I needed this. And I went down this road and I did this with my life. And I just, you know, I wanted what I wanted. But now I can't find you. And God, I need you and I can't find you now. Dear friend, he's watching you the entire time. Your problem doesn't matter. Number 4, your position doesn't matter. Look, if you would, at verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. That's pretty low. Your place doesn't matter. Say, preacher, you don't know where I have ended up. You don't know what happened in my life, some decisions that I've made. And preacher, in fact, I don't even know half of these were decisions I made. I don't know how I got here. But I'm low, and you just don't, I don't know what happened. How did I become this person? How did I end up here? How did all these things that have happened in my life, how did they happen? I want you to notice, if you would, verse 6. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Your place doesn't matter, folks. I don't care how down and low you get. He can always bring you up from corruption. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For the Lord upholdeth me with his hand. I want you to notice, for sake of time, your position doesn't matter. Number 5, your powerlessness doesn't matter. This is a big one. Look at verse 7, if you would. This is what Jonah said. When my soul fainted within me. He's describing a powerless situation. I literally did not know what to do. I had tried everything there was to do. I'm sure in the belly of this fish, he had tried to run everything through his mind. He had tried to think of everything, justify everything, somehow make sense of it all. And literally, he's stuck in this belly. He can't get out. He's confined. There's nowhere to go. It's just you and your sin. And he got to the point that he said, my soul has literally fainted within me. I've got no more strength left. And dear friend, That's exactly where God wants you to get to. Is when there's nothing of you left and where He has to take over. Your powerlessness doesn't matter. You say, I've tried everything and I just can't seem to fix it. You're not going to fix it. God's going to have to fix it. You say, well, preacher, I appreciate all the encouragement. Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your sin can't separate you from the love of God. Your circumstances can't separate you from the love of God. You can be in a fish in the belly down in the bottom of the sea, and that can't even separate you from the love of God. It's everywhere you go. Dear friend, you can fight it all you want to, but God loves you. Yeah, but so-and-so, they let me down. They might have, but God loves you. I say, all right, preacher, Mr. Know-it-all, all those things don't matter. What does matter? Glad you asked, and we'll go home. Number one, your prayer matters. Look, if you would, at verse 1 and verse 7. Then Jonah prayed. Notice this. Unto the Lord his God. Let me tell you something interesting there. In our Sunday school class, we did a study on this about a month or two ago, about the different names of God and the doctrine of God and different things. But now listen to me. What Jonah here said is very interesting. Look, if you would, at verse 1. He said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. That word Lord is the word for master. That word God is the word Jehovah. This is what Jonah said in verse 1. After all he'd been through, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. What that is saying is this. He prayed unto the master, my Jehovah. When Jonah prayed, he said this, God, I know you're the master, but you're my Jehovah. Amen. You're my Savior. Amen. You are the Lord, but you're my God. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, God is God, and He is Master, and He is Lord. But what is important today is this, is He your God? Amen. Jonah stated his position as Lord, but he got personal with Jehovah. Amen. Jonah's in that belly. He said, listen, Lord, I know you're Lord, but you're my Jehovah. You're God, but you're my God. You said you'd always listen to me. And I need you now. And God showed up. I want you to look, if you would, at verse 7. I love this. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. I remembered the Lord. And dear friend, you and I can get so busy we can think of everything else but Him. But Jonah said, hey, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to Him. Amen. It made it through. Amen. Your prayer matters. I find it interesting here that the mariners in this story, listen to me, in chapter 1, the mariners, the guys on the ship, they were trying to get Jonah to pray to his God, so that maybe the storm would stop. But if you read chapter 1 through 100 times, you'll never find that Jonah ever prayed to him. I still wonder this day if Jonah had prayed, if God would have stopped that storm. I don't know. But they all prayed to their gods. And then they came to Jonah and they said, listen, would you pray to your God? Maybe He'll stop this storm. And we never find that Jonah did. He was so stubborn and so rebellious. He was so far from God that he couldn't even pray. And I have met people like that. They have gotten so cold that they can't even pray anymore. And dear friend, that's a dangerous place to be. Because I'm going to tell you, God's not going to put up with that long. But now that God had brought some things into his life, The mariners didn't have to ask him to pray anymore. He wanted to pray. Then Jonah prayed. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 15 says this, I will go and return to my place, God says, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Listen to this. In their affliction will they seek me early. It's amazing how affliction will make you turn to God. Your prayer matters. I want you to notice, secondly, your promise matters. Look at verse 8 and 9. Jonah says this, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In other words, he says, those that promise something and don't keep up with it, they are literally forsaking the very mercy that God has given. Look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Notice three things here he promises. Number one, he promises to sacrifice. He says, I will sacrifice unto the Lord. That means this, God, I'm going to change some things. I'm going to give up some things. I'm going to change my priorities. I'm going to change my attitude. I am going to sacrifice my life. God, I am going to do that for you. And dear friend, you and I ought to sacrifice for him. And by the way, I look at it differently. I don't think anything we do for God's a sacrifice. I think it's a blessing. He always gives us more than we give him. But you know what he's saying. God, I will sacrifice. Number two, he promises to be thankful. He said, I will sacrifice, notice this, with a voice of thanksgiving. Apparently, Jonah had gotten to the point that he wasn't thankful in his life. Anybody else in here get to times in your life where you're not thankful? How many times have we driven to church in a car and we didn't even thank God for that car? We complain about it. Apparently, Jonah had gotten so far away from God because at some point he had stopped giving thanks. And dear friend, as soon as you or I cease from being thankful, we are in danger of rebelling. Because then we're going to get complacent. Then we're going to think we deserve more and we've earned more. And before long, we're going to be far away from God. Number three, he promised to keep his word. Notice what he says, I will pay that I have vowed. You know what the Bible says? It's better for you not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and break it. Jonah says, God, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to be thankful, and I'm going to keep my word. Dear friend, your promise matters. But number three, this is great. The providence of God matters. Notice if you would, verse, and I like this, look at chapter 1, just turn your page, look at verse 17. Obviously, we've read this verse, but look at it. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, look at chapter 2. Look at the end of verse 9. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Look at verse 6. The Lord lifted him up out of corruption. Dear friend, over and over and over again in Jonah's life, we see the providence of God. When he ran from God, God had a fish prepared. When he said, hey, I am sorry, God lifted him up out of corruption. When Jonah said, God, I'll serve you now, he had that fish vomit him up. Everything Jonah did, everywhere he turned, every circumstance was already in the providence of God. Dear friend, look at me. There are some things in your life that you cannot control. But everything in your life, God can control. You and I have got to get to the point that we realize and understand that the providence of God is what matters. God's in control. I want to read you a passage and listen to this real quick. Psalm chapter 66, beginning in verse 10. Listen to this. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Listen to this. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. Do I need to read those verses again? Am I only the one? Me, other three people are excited about that? Maybe I just, let me do that again. All right, here we go. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Remember the whole refiner's fire thing. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. He's listing all these things that God had done to him. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. Let me tell you something about the providence of God. God in heaven just, I don't know what he did. I don't know if he did this, if he did that, if he just did that. Probably God didn't do anything. It just happened automatic. But that fish, I believe, got off the bottom of that seabed. And that fish probably began to get sick. And by the way, nothing can make you sick like a Baptist. I'm going to tell you something right there. That fish is probably like, I can't throw up in the water. It's going to come right back in. That fish trying to get out of that water, up to that water's edge as quick as he could. That fish is getting sick. I mean, something wasn't churning right. And there ain't nothing worse than a disgruntled, rebellious Christian. And something ain't going right. And that fish, man, he couldn't get to that water's edge as quick as he could. And when he got up there, he got to that edge and blah! Can't wait to go to lunch, can you? Anybody going to Seafood Shack today? Never mind, I don't want to talk about that. Hey, next time you get a hair in your fish, it's Jonas. But anyway. I'll be here all week. No. Look at me. When that fish finally got up to that top and got rid of that heartburn, you imagine Jonah when he ended up on that sandy area or rocky area there by the water. Can you imagine what he looked like? Look at me. I bet you when he got out of there, he's laying on that ground. Stinky, smelly, but look at me. I bet you when he felt that ground, he bent down and, mwah! Oh, was he so glad to be back on land. Never thought I'd make it there. Thought I was dead, thought I was gone, thought I'd never survive that. But somehow from the bottom of that water in that belly, my prayer got all the way to God, and God forgave me, and God still said he'd use me, and he brought that fish and vomited him up right there on land. Stinky, smelly, but happy. More thankful than he had ever been in his life. Buddy, in that next chapter, he walked into Nineveh and he began to preach. He could have done it from the start. But buddy, after what God put him through, he had never been so grateful to preach in all his life. I've talked to preachers that for some reason, through sickness or whatever, have been out of the pulpit for a long time. And every one of them will tell you when they were finally able to get back up to that pulpit, how thankful they were to get to preach one more time. Dear friend, the providence of God matters.